you are listening to Law and Gospel on this first day of July, the first in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. Good to have you with us. And as I promised, we're going to be talking about the Supreme Court ruling that occurred in regard to same-gender marriage. These are my thoughts. These are not the thoughts of the official position of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in all regards. I do agree with the position of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that same-sex marriage is an abomination before Almighty God. It is evil. But what are going to be the repercussions of that Supreme Court ruling? I want to start off by asking you some questions. Is it a right in the United States that women can vote? Yes. Is it a right in the United States that people can have a divorce? Yes. Is it a right in the United States that women can be heads of corporations, CEOs? Yes. Is it a right in the United States that a person can join any religion that they desire to do so? Yes. Is it right in the United States that a person can have a funeral? Yes. Is it also a right in the United States that people, even of the same gender, can be married? And the answer is yes. Do you realize, and I've got a lot more, that each one of those is opposed by true Christians? Yes. For example, I mentioned women have the right to vote. That is correct, except there are congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that do not permit women to vote in what we call the Voters Assembly. And guess what? They did not lose their tax exemption. Is it right for a person to have a, say, no-fault divorce? Yes, but in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we may excommunicate someone who has a divorce that is unbiblical. We do not lose our tax exemption. Is it right for women to be CEOs, heads of corporations? Well, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is a corporation, but we do not allow women to be ordained. And we do not lose our tax exemption. Is there a right to join any religion that you want? Yes. But in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we will only allow those to become members of a congregation who adhere to the confessional position of the Lutheran Church as found in the Book of Concord, and of course, who are repentant of their sins. And we don't lose our tax exemption. Now, we've got a new one. The people have a right to be married to whomever they want. Does the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod agree with that? No. Will we lose our tax exemption? I don't know. It's kind of interesting that if you lose the tax exemption, that means a couple of things. Number one, people who give to churches will not be able to deduct their contribution from their federal income tax. Number two, you as a church will probably have to pay taxes on anything you buy. Like right now, if you buy paper to do newsletters, etc., that's sales tax exempted. And number three, you may have to pay property tax on your buildings. In other words, today I was told is Canada Day, and in Canada, all those things happen. A church is not under tax exemption in any of those three items that I shared with you. And yet those churches are doing fine. So it may be that we're going to lose our tax exemption. But in light of the fact that ISIS is killing children who deny Jesus Christ, this doesn't seem to me to be that big a point of suffering. We can work around that. The worst thing that's going to happen is we have a lot of inner city, large buildings as churches. And of course, those congregations are not going to be able to pay a lot of times the property tax simply because they only have 30 or 40 members instead of the normal 1,000 plus members they used to have. Which means that a lot of people in those areas without tax exemption are not going to be getting free food. They're not going to be helped in finding a home. There's a lot of things that inner city churches do in the social ministry area that if they close down, that won't be going on. I'm not saying that the worst can occur. I'm just saying, why are you so worried about it? Has God moved from the United States of America? People say, look it, if there's two individuals who love each other, who are you to judge that what they are doing is wrong? Well, the Bible allows us to judge what is right and wrong. It's very clear from the scriptures that there's two kinds of judgments that go on. The one we're not allowed to do, the other one we are allowed to do. Well, what's the one we're not allowed to do? Well, I've used this example, but maybe you haven't heard it. You're in a courtroom and there's a jury and a judge. What does the jury decide? Whether you're innocent or guilty. What does the judge decide? He hands down the sentence. We as Christians are not allowed to be judges. What we are allowed to be are juries. In other words, we can say that what that person is doing is wrong in the eyes of God, and therefore repentance is necessary prior to coming to the Lord's Supper. That's our teaching. But we're not able to say, oh, listen to that person. What is he saying? He's swearing and all this. Guess what? You're going to hell. No. Christians swear. Christians sin. Christians go against the laws of the land. That doesn't send you to hell. Well, we've talked a lot about this. I don't want to go into it too much. But one is saved by Jesus Christ. Jesus takes sinners who are repentant to heaven. So the task of the church is really important. Now you hear this all the time. We love each other. Who are you to judge? It's kind of interesting that the Greek has a number of words for love. Two of them are found in the Bible. Phileo, that is brotherly love from Philadelphia. But the other love is agape, which is found in John 3:16, where God loves you to such an extent that he is willing to sacrifice himself for you so that your sins may be paid for, the punishment. So what kind of love do people say, hey, I love this person and I know they're of the same gender, but who are you to tell me that I am wrong? Well, we're not the ones telling you you are wrong. We're only the mouthpiece of God, indicating that what you're practicing is an abomination before Almighty God. And we can go through all the Bible verses. By the way, I am not taking phone calls today because we're going to wait for Wes Reimnitz to come up. I've got too much to finish with today. And then we'll kind of go and take questions tomorrow and have some more interesting tidbits for you in regard to this. There's a third word for love. It's called eros, E-R-O-S. Well, what kind of love is that? I like giving this story. A husband and wife are in their house, and people break in. And when they break in, there's a safe. And they say to the husband, open up the safe. He says, no, I will not. He says, the thieves we will hurt your wife if you don't open up the safe. He said, I'm still not going to open it up. So they don't hurt the wife, but they take out a knife and they go to the wall where he has paintings that he has bought. And they're very dear to him because they're expensive and some great paintings. And the man says, the thief, if you don't open up the safe, we're going to start ripping apart these paintings. And immediately he opens up the safe. See, he has no love for his wife, but he has what's called erotic love for his paintings. What does that mean? That you so care for an object out of self-interest that you are willing to do anything. That's the kind of love when people commit sin that they're following. Because at the basis of all love, just look at Adam and Eve. The serpent got them. Hey, you want to be like God? All you have to do is eat of this fruit. God's lied to you. And they don't realize it. Because their self-interest becomes more important than God's interest. So don't be beguiled by Satan's talk that, boy, if two people love each other, who are you to say they can't get married? I often will come back, oh, okay, so you're saying that a father and his daughter can get married. Oh, no, we don't mean that. Oh, why not? Why don't you mean that? And we'll get into that in a few moments. But I want to say a couple of things as to those who are concerned about whether or not churches will lose tax exemption if they don't marry individuals. We might have to do what happened when I visited Novosibirsk, that's Siberia. I taught there for 3 weeks, some 18 years ago. And what was really interesting, we were in Russia. One of the seminarians wanted to get married. So what happened? The whole seminary went with the couple to what's called kind of the justice of the peace. It was a woman, and she asked them if they would keep their promises to each other. There was no words about God or anything, and they said yes, and she declared them to be married. Then we went back to the seminary and had a great wedding worship service and a big party. That could be something that might need to happen, where if the state insists that you have to agree to homosexual marriage in order to marry somebody, well, then we pastors just won't become officials of the state anymore. I mean, it seems kind of a simple thing. Maybe there's some problems. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm just giving some ways out. Now, we do have cases that could come down on both sides. Some years ago, Bob Jones University versus United States was a Supreme Court ruling where the college lost its tax-exempt status because the Bob Jones University prohibited interracial relationships. And they said that did not serve the public interest as a requirement of tax-exempt organizations. So if the court rules that opposition to same-sex marriage is seen as not serving the public interest, maybe we'll lose our tax exemption. But it seems like we have a Supreme Court that doesn't really, at least some of their members, abide by what is written in the law. And they come out with things that nobody's even arguing as a grounds for allowing certain things, and I would believe this occurs. Now, there was another Supreme Court ruling that unanimously was in support of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have ordained ministers and commissioned ministers. And there was a case where a woman commissioned minister, which means she's a teacher. She's not a pastor. that she was removed from the school because of various reasons. False teaching, different point of view than the synod, if I remember correctly. She tried to go to court and be reinstated. But the synod said to the Supreme Court that God wants commissioned ministers to raise their disputes within the church first. So rather than going to court, we kind of work within the synod. Now, if that doesn't work, then we're allowed to go to court. But first of all, you need to deal with the situation within the church. The woman decided to bring the state in against the church, which went also against God's plan. And Missouri Synod had excellent lawyers. And although the Sixth Circuit disregarded the well-established beliefs of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the Supreme Court did not. And you know what they did? They unanimously held in support of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. See, I'm not a lawyer, and I recognize that some people have lost their jobs and this kind of thing, and I'm wondering, what kind of lawyers did they have? Remember that in Indiana, a gay couple wanted a bakery to make a cake for them, and they refused to do so, and they were fined $110,000. Where were the lawyers there? All I would have done is gone to a Muslim bakery and asked them to make a cake and on it write down, Allah is an idol. Now, they would have refused to do that. Would I have made $100,000? No, because I believe they had the right to refuse that. Someone in private business can hire who they want, and they have a right to conduct the business according to their religious beliefs. And I can give a number of other examples where religious beliefs, for example, a man, because he believed the Sabbath was Saturday, refused to go to work on Saturday. And guess what? It was ruled that he had a right to do that because you can't go against people's religious beliefs. Now, I do understand that we have a Supreme Court that you don't know which way they're going to rule on these things. But what kind of bothers me is not only do we have a track record where religious beliefs are held strongly not to be overcome by a court, but everybody agrees that this is something coming down the line. In fact, during the Supreme Court, Solicitor General Donald Verila, and he was appearing on part of the Obama administration, was asked by Justice Alito as to whether a religious nonprofit could lose its tax-exempt status by opposing same-sex marriage. And here was his answer. You know, I don't think I can answer that question without knowing more specific, but it's certainly going to be an issue. I don't deny that. I don't deny that, Justice Alito. It is going to be an issue. So that's still up in the air. But there's all kinds of ways, it seems to me, to be around that. I mean, all that a congregation has to do is no longer permit their pastors to do the marriage ceremony. Then you go to a justice of the peace. You get married, and then you go to church for the big celebration and the wedding and this sort of thing. And if gay couples want to get married in the church, you just say no, because there are certain parameters we have. And that may be needed to be written in the bylaws so you have a legal reason as a corporation. But first of all, you must be repentant of sin to become a member of a congregation and be married. And obviously, these people are not. Where is the real problem? And I actually have some phone calls I'm waiting to get back. It seems to me that the worst case scenario is in schools. And let's talk about a public school. Is it going to be possible for our children to speak out against homosexual marriage? I certainly would hope that if that conversation ever came up, they'd be able to do that. But it's possible that they're going to be ostracized. They're going to be made fun of. People are going to think less of them. This could be a real help to people going to parochial schools of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, where that kind of attitude will not be tolerated. Putting somebody down because they are in agreement with the Word of God. Then we have situations, I'm told, that in the workplace, and one of them I was just told about was at Boeing, they have a policy on tolerance, and if you disobey that, you can get fired. You know, I would really like that to take place. We need to do some test cases. Here's what I would do. I would go to Boeing, and I would find a Muslim who, of course, disagrees with same-sex marriage, and he speaks in that way. Are they going to fire a Muslim for his faith? Now, why do I use a Muslim? Because, boy, in this culture, it seems like Muslims can, you know, do a lot of things that Christians can't do. And it would be an example to see what would happen, to go through the court case and see if Boeing is able to fire a Muslim simply because they hold that it is a sin to have same-sex marriage. And I would also go to bakeries and ask for things on the cake that are contrary to their religious beliefs and see what happens. I mean, there's so many ways that we can not be defensive, but we can go on the offense. Why am I saying this? Because one of my field workers was James Lamb, and he has gone on the offense in the pro-life area, and it has really made a difference. Judge Neopolitano of Fox News said, within 10 years, everybody's going to forget about this, and gay marriage is just going to be a common thing. I can't, now he's Jewish, so he's not Christian, so he doesn't understand Christianity, but I can't disagree with that more. In 1973, when Roe v. Wade was adopted by the Supreme Court, the permission of murdering children, people thought, yeah, within 10 years, everybody will be okay with that. In fact, in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, the pro-life movement seems to be winning more and more court cases. And the majority of Americans now do not believe that abortion is permitted under any circumstance. We still have work to do, but it's not the Bible passages that have helped us. You know what's really helped us? Is doctors in the medical field. I can't tell you how many people I talked to who thought, and now we're going to get to the real point why all this is happening, who thought that in the womb, you're not a human being, as President Clinton said, until you take your first breath. I had a relative who believed that in the womb, the human being goes through evolutionary stances. And they're not really a human being until they're born. Well, we now know all that to be untrue. And there isn't a legal scholar who thinks that what they did in 1973 was appropriate. And already we're seeing from the justices that opposed same-sex marriage that the way that they okayed it, the majority, is a way that was totally inappropriate. And we're going to hear more about that. My final point is this, and we can talk more about this tomorrow. There's one reason, and I was really surprised. One of the top speakers on Fox News was talking, was answering the question, what three things do you think led to this decision on the part of the Supreme Court? And when my wife told me what he had said, I couldn't believe it because I've been saying it for a number of months now. His answer was evolution. And we're going to talk a lot more about evolution because I am absolutely convinced that those who believe in evolution, you don't need a God, and therefore you do not need morality. You can do whatever you want as long as there is love involved. And so it's only a matter of time before marriages will occur of a polygamous nature and other areas. Listening to Glenn Beck recently, you know, he's Mormon. He said, boy, there's no reason why we can't have marriages, polygamy or three husbands, four wives, this kind of thing, all in one. Now, that's what's going to be coming down the line because of this ridiculous notion. And the real problem is evolution. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.